Kelly was talking about the voice of the Lord, and just to take a moment, you know, in John chapter 10, Jesus said that there are four things he said to us. That he said, my sheep know my voice, my sheep hear my voice, I lead them, and they follow. Say that, I know his voice. I hear his voice. He leads me. And I follow. You know, it's really simple. It takes a lot of problems out of play when you do that. And there are so many Christians who don't believe they have the ability to really hear the voice of the Lord. And Jesus said, no, if you're my sheep, you hear my voice. You know my voice. I lead you and you follow. And the voice of a stranger you will not follow. And you know, to hear his voice is really all it is a matter of spending time in the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God. And as you do, you become acclimated to the fact that it's the same voice in Genesis as it is in John. It's the same voice in Deuteronomy as it is in the book of Acts. It's the same in the Psalms. It's the same voice all through the Bible, wherever you go. And the more time you spend meditating, churning the Word over in your spending and wrapping your mind around it and let it inside of you, the more you will hear that voice. And then you'll be able to understand and discern where he's leading you. It's all a matter of spending time in the Word and hearing that Word and listening to it. And then that voice, the Spirit of the Word, starts to minister to you in a very understanding way. And it's almost like he partners with you. And here's the stunning thing. That when you hear his voice and you discern this is his voice, that's when you understand you've been hearing his voice all the time, but you just haven't acknowledged it as such. Well, instead of wondering about it, just read it, meditate on it, and do it. Take the advice that God gave Joshua in Joshua 1:8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Meditate on the word. Speaking of the word, what is the word? This word is God speaking to me. Let's declare it. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, when you're a doer of the word, you are pleasing God. Amen. That deserved a better amen than that. When you do the word of God, you are pleasing God. He is accomplishing in you many, 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 many things. When you simply read the word and do it, accept it, believe it, confess it, do it. A, B, C, D. Accept, confess, believe, accept, believe, confess, and do. Amen. That you may observe to do all that is written therein. So we are continuing our series, The Power of God's Mercy. And this week we're focusing on the authoritative nature of God's mercy, the authoritative nature of mercy. You know, you can't give mercy if you don't know the authority that you have to give mercy. And when you don't give mercy, when you choose to hold a grudge against somebody or unforgiveness towards somebody, you are putting yourself under their authority. Did you know that? Dun, 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 da, da, dun, dun, dun. Think about that for 5 minutes. God has so much more for you, and you can let go of the grudge. You're not responsible for them. You're not going to stand before the Lord for them. You stand before the Lord for you. They will stand before the Lord someday, and you can just walk and laugh and enjoy yourself and have fun, you know? Just get down on your bad self. Amen. And don't let all that stuff bother. On September 6th of 2018, off-duty Dallas Police Department patrol officer Amber Geiger entered what she thought was her apartment in Dallas, Texas. And she didn't realize that she had entered the apartment of a man by the name of Botham Jean. Thinking he was a burglar or intruder, she fatally shot him. Guy was minding his own business in his own apartment. Geiger said that she entered the apartment believing that she was in her own apartment. She shot Jean believing that he was a burglar. She was found guilty of murder and sentenced to 10 years in prison. At her sentencing, others were permitted to speak and address the woman who killed their brother, son, friend, co-worker. But Botham Jean's young 18-year-old brother took the stand to deliver a victim impact statement that they allow these days. When he didn't offer the expected rage and anger, instead, he extended forgiveness. This hit the news pretty well. And he looked at her and he said, "I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you." He said, "I love you. And I just want to know that I love you like anyone else, and I'm not going to hope that you rot and die like the others who testified earlier. I personally want the best for you, and I wasn't going to say this in front of my family. I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you because I know that's exactly what Botham, my brother, would want for you. Give your life to Christ, and I think giving your life to Christ is the best thing Botham would want for you." Later in another statement, this organization gave him a award. He said, "This is what you have to do to set yourself free." 18-year-old kid, he understands this. What a tremendously wonderful personality, this young man. He said, "This is what you have to do to set yourself free. I don't really plan on spending the rest of my life hating this woman." He said, "I know there's something called peace of mind, and that's the type of stuff you need to do to have peace of mind. That's why I wake up happy in the morning, and that's why I want to live happy the rest of my life." Totally unjust. This was a shock. This was something they ripped off a dear brother who is a Christian brother, minding his own business. All of a sudden, he's gone. When Brent Jean left the witness stand that day, he said, "I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug?" And the judge said, "Sure." And Geiger said, "Yes." And Geiger said, "Yes," and broke down in tears as the two embraced. His statements that came from a pure heart even moved the judge to come and do likewise. And the judge came down and hugged the defendant and went even further and gave the defendant her Bible. A reporter witnessing this said, "Those who are familiar with the Christian faith understand what Brent was doing. He did the same thing the victims of the church shooting in Charleston did. He followed the commandments of his faith in the belief that God has something greater in store for us when we hand over our rage and grievances to him." And Brent said so himself. He offered Geiger Christ. Not a pretentious move. Not something that was based on some false standard of self-righteous whatever. It was not a baseless pointless thing that he did that he would regret someday. This had backing and foundation to it from a life that was surrendered to Jesus. Mercy. Say that, mercy. Is this the kind of mercy that you think you can walk in yourself? When you violated the laws of God and man? I want to be like that 18-year-old young man. Mercy is powerful. Instead of perpetrating and keep on continuing the problem and over and over and over again and giving it license over your life, he solved the whole thing. He brought the whole thing to a stop. And all of the race mongers that are out there who tried to make this a racial thing, silence. God got in the picture, and God's standard was raised, and mercy was given. End of discussion. Bright future. I love it. Rage and anger absorbed. Did he have a right to be enraged? Absolutely. Did he have a right to be angry? Absolutely. But not before God. Because when you look at your own life and the sin and the rebellion that you have launched against God, that I have launched against God, did God take it personally? Or did he say, I'm not going to continue this problem, I'm going to solve it. Jesus, leave your throne, go into that cesspool and save them. That's what this world is, folks, compared to heaven. People say, well, he broke into my house and stole things that cannot be replaced. If you are so attached to those things, you got your priorities wrong. Hello. Because you know what? The best things are up there anyways. And everything that's down here is going to be melt with fervent heat anyhow. And it's going to disintegrate. It's going to be gone. And then what are you going to do when your Rolex is gone? You won't need a Rolex in heaven. You won't even need a watch in heaven. You won't need anything that is of value down here. Will seem like absolute garbage when you're in heaven. Let go of it and walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The desire of the flesh is to hit back. The desire of the flesh is to hold on to that hurt, because that's the only thing you can feel after a while. And if you didn't feel the hurt, you wouldn't be able to feel anything else. And you know what? It's all air. The more you hold on to it, the more it works against you. And if you let go of it, God will come to your side, and he'll lift you up and said, there's a place by me. Like he said with Moses, there's a place by me. And enjoy his presence. Mercy releases power in your life, but it's authoritative in nature. Mercy. To refuse to extend mercy to someone is a total abdication of the authority that Christ has established you in. You have to look at it that way. So, well, my husband cheated on me. Really? You're not going to answer for them. You're going to answer for you. It is good. It is good. See, you have an enemy, and he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And one of his greatest tactics is to lock you up in bitterness, resentment, and it's called offense. And offense comes to get the word of God out of you. In Mark chapter 4, persecution arises for the word's sake, and immediately they are offended. Offended. An offense is something that works like bleach. It'll bleach the word right out of you. It'll bleach the word and the love of God right out of your heart. Offense is something that you don't have any business playing with when you have been given. Offense is like this small. And grace is so huge, vast, endless, and limited. And the offense that you may feel in this earth for the short time that we're here, just pop it like a balloon. That's all it is. It's just hot air. It's the devil's hot air. Don't play with it. Just get rid of it and allow the grace of God to just well up on the inside of you. I will sing of the mercies of God. Praise God. Turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, before we do, let's stop by here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You ought to meditate on this for at least a week. In every opportunity that you have to get offended, just say, no, I like to be blessed. I like to have my needs met. I like to have my relationships in right order. I like to have everything in place in my life. I like to have my priorities right. I like to have my motives connecting with God. I like to walk in the peace of God. I like to walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit. I like all of those things. And you know what? I'm going to be merciful. Yes. I'm going to be merciful today. I get the opportunity to be merciful. You know, the very fact, by definition, mercy is a choice. It gives you a choice to be in authority or under offense. He said this, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, you can't solve your problems like God can. He's mighty. You have the mighty power. And therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. You know, God has no problem with you being exalted. But he does have a problem with you exalting yourself. He wants to exalt you. And how does that happen? When you humble yourself and take him at his word. That's what humility is, by the way. It's believing God. It's taking God at his word. Humility isn't saying, I'm such a worthless sinner. I'm so unworthy. That's not humility. That is a lie. Because when he came into your life, none of us were worthy, but he didn't leave you in that condition. He made you born again. He recreated you. He's given you his word. Why? So you can just sit there and look at it. No. And people say, well, I can't, you know, you can't understand the Bible. I mean, you know, it's how can you understand the Bible? Well, come on. Why did he give it to us in the first place if you didn't want to? If he wanted you stupid, he just left you that way and you'd take care of the rest of it. Is that right? That he may exalt you in due time or at the correct time, casting all your care, your anxieties, your worries, your concerns, all your care on him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. He's not one, but he walks that way, seeking whom he may devour. If he can get a police officer to go into the wrong room and shoot a guy that she thinks is a burglar, and then to get all the race people against it, and then to get everything and get everybody so offended. And then they go on radio and TV talk shows, and they go on to say, I'm so offended. I am so offended. In fact, let's all be offended. I'm so offended. And you can go on a national TV show and say, I am so offended. My whole group is offended. I need to be offended. You need to be offended. Let's all get offended. Let's and sow and seed like that. Do we have better things to do than that? We're sons and daughters of the living God, created in his image and likeness. What does God do in situations like this? Mercy! End of discussion. All of it absorbed in God's mercy. And you know what? Nobody can argue with that. They can launch a protest to it, but they can't beat it. They can't overcome light with darkness. And they can't overcome mercy with judgment, because mercy triumphs over judgment. How about it, guys? Unforgiveness is a huge tactic of the enemy's, and he likes to bind people up with it. And if he can get you offended in a place where you are locked up in bitterness, then he can walk down the road 10 miles. You'll take care of the rest of your life and just be miserable all your life. It's time to come to the Lord. It's time to clean our plates. It's time to do our laundry. It's time to clean our rooms. It's time to straighten out and fly right and just say, Lord, help me put that behind me now. I've been dabbling with that long enough, and I'm just going to put it away now. I repent. It has done me no good for how many years? It's time to say, Lord, I'm going to extend mercy. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know if I can, but I know that you can. And you and me, we're going to hit this thing together. And we are going to go down this road. We're going to go through that gate into the promises. And I am going to enjoy you for the rest of my life. And I'm not going to hold anything against anyone because I have no right to. Remember the joke about Al Gore and President Clinton and Hillary? We use that. In case you weren't here last week, I'll say it again. But Bill Clinton and Al Gore and Hillary, this is back when they were in a car wreck and they were killed. And they're standing before God, and God says, who are you? He says, I'm Al Gore. I'm Vice President of the United States. He said, who are you? He says, I'm Bill Clinton. I'm President of the United States. And then he said to Hillary, who are you? And Hillary said, excuse me, but aren't you sitting in my seat? When you judge somebody, that's exactly what you do. You sit in God's seat as if you were God. That didn't work out too well for the devil. Did it? Unforgiveness is a tactic. Mercy is not an option. It's a necessity if you're going to walk this life and enjoy God. Let that stuff go. You know, you say, well, you make that sound so easy. I didn't say this. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Do you want blessing in your life? Do you want to abound in blessing? The word blessing, by the way, is an empowerment. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. You want to dissolve sorrow, regrets, and all that in your life? Focus on Jesus. It's you and him. It's not them. They really cannot do anything to hurt you if you're walking in the insulation of God and his mercy. Let me ask you this. Is there anyone higher than God? Is there anybody more powerful than God? Is there anybody more authoritative than God? No. Is there anybody who is more merciful than God? You want to maintain authority in your life, the authority that Christ has given you, the authority of a believer with all authority in heaven and earth to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues, to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover? Do you want to walk in that kind of authority? Then let go of your argument. Let go of your trash. Let it go. Let it go. They will answer to God. No one is mightier. No one is more merciful. The mercies of God are from everlasting to everlasting. His mercies never fail. They're new every morning. And under the covenant that we have, the new covenant, he has everything in place to release more mercy than you'll ever need, a full supply of mercy, more than you'll ever need. And if you need more than that and he doesn't have it, he'll make it. He's El Shaddai. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mercy is yours forever if you're willing to walk in mercy forever. Say that. Mercy is mine forever. If I'm willing to extend mercy. Really, you have no right not to. We did this scripture last week, and we're going to look at it again. This is something that we need to meditate on, this story that Jesus told. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven. This is the way the kingdom of heaven operates. Is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. You see, right here, what we're talking about is that door that Jesus left. He wants you to know how much he loves you, like you sit on your child's bed and talk to them and watch them sleep and just want to pour out your heart to them. There's a door to that, and this is that door to enjoy that kind of love. It's like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. One day the King of Kings will settle accounts. You don't have to. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and laid his hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me. Sound familiar? That's what he just told the king. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will do to each of you, also will do to you if each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. You know, there's a whole section of Christianity who doesn't believe that Christians can be judged. And if you read through the New Testament, through the letters, I'm not talking about eternal judgment. I'm talking about, you know what the judgment that this world is under right now? It's been in force ever since Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. This world's judgment is under the law of seed time and harvest. Every judgment that comes into the earth right now is a harvest of seeds that are sown. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's the law of seed time and harvest. It's the law of giving and receiving. That's the law that this world, that's the judgment that this world is under right now. And that's why it's so important to walk in mercy, to have mercy, extend forgiveness. It's all operative under the same thing, mercy, forgiveness, compassion. It all stems from the same heart, and that heart is God's. When Jesus was hanging there on the cross, it looked like he was done. If you have been treated unjustly, there is no one who has been treated more unjustly than Jesus. Condemned as a criminal when he was totally innocent. Condemned as a sinner and he was sinless. Judged by those who should have been judged. Put to death by those who deserved death. Who twisted the law around to accommodate their own narrative and put him on that cross. And it looked like they won. And when it looks like those who have hurt you are in the winning circle celebrating, just wait. You will be vindicated. You will be exalted in due time. God is on your side. He sees all of it. And he wants to come and give you sweet sleep. And he wants to look at you when you're sleeping and tell you how much he loves you. That you do him proud because you act like him. And you forgive as you have been forgiven. Amen. Even in that state, what did he do? He took himself out of the equation again and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Mercy. Where's Jesus now? He's doing fine. He's at the right hand of the Father, at the right hand of God. Did mercy triumph over judgment? Did he release himself from offense? Did he have every right to be offended? Absolutely. If anybody ever who was born into this world had a right to be offended, it was him. But he chose mercy. How about you? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he the one that loves you greater with a greater love than anybody's able to? Let's get this right. Amen? Let's do this and get this right. When you pass this test, there'll be others to pass, but you'll be equipped for them if you walk in mercy. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the gentle touch of your mercy and for empowering us with the truth. Because you know where we're headed. You know the future. And our job is to keep our eye on you, to hear your voice, to know your voice. For you to lead us and for us to follow. Thank you for being so faithful, so good, so loving and kind to us. And now we decide. We fix our eyes like flint to be extensions of your mercy to a crying out world who is filled with sores, filled with wounds from your enemy and ours. And I'm not going to take the enemy's side, I'm going to take your side. Today I'm going to stand for righteousness, peace, and the weightier parts of the law, which are faith, justice, and mercy. Those are the things that throw weight in heaven, and those things are going to throw weight in my decisions from this point forward. I'm going to walk in liberty and victory and freedom and blessing and provision and strength and health and life. I stand with you, Father, in the name of Jesus. The things that you have promised me, along with all the promises of God in him, are yes and amen to me, because you have filled my heart with love for those who have persecuted me, those who have hurt me, those who have unjustly spoken and did things against me that I can't even imagine why. But Father, you know their heart, and I choose to look at them like you did when you were on that cross. I choose to hug them and to offer them my Bible. And if I continued in unforgiveness, my Bible wouldn't be worth anything. Fill your words as we receive them with your love, a revelation of who you are, what you have, all you can do, and where you are at the right hand of God after being in the pit of hell. Raise me up with you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come forward, and we will pray for you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God will act on your behalf. Then we have refreshments and celebration in the cafe.